This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski, he spikes with emphasis.
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart is your source for the latest news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Smith from the gun, under pressure across the middle, that pass to the near side, picked off, a juggling interception, and it's the rookie Logan Ryan on the run, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Patriots!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500, or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Shotgun snap to Taylor, eludes him, and careens into the end zone, and Chandler Jones picks it up, and Chandler Jones has a touchdown.
Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Well, that wasn't good. Welcome to the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One. Here on Patriots.com, the Patriots tonight fell to 2-2 on the year. They lose to the Chiefs in Kansas City, 41-14, the final score. A night for the Patriots where it seemed nothing was going right for them. And when I say nothing, I don't know that that's much of an exaggeration. There were a couple of bright spots, very few. This was a downright bad night for this team to move to 2-2. That's one of the worst losses I've seen in a long time for the New England Patriots. Guys, it was not good. It was not a good scene there tonight.
I think we're going to be hard-pressed to do you a little, the good part of your good, bad, and the injured. That's not going to be an easy thing to do tonight. I didn't see anything like that coming. I thought it would be a close game. I thought it would be a tough game. I thought the environment would be tough, and it was. But I didn't envision the Patriots getting just rolled over like that. I didn't really see any scenarios unfolding the way that game unfolded.
Did. Question. I saw it exactly like that.
And yet you picked the Patriots. Good call.
I told you I was worried about my pick, though.
Listen, if you had told me that they're going to lose, Beadle picked the Chiefs to win the game, and I don't think it was a bad pick. I contemplated it. I looked at it from both sides. I'm saying, you know, there was some turnovers in the second half. I think there was four of them in the second half. Can we all agree that the turnovers really didn't have much of an impact in this game? It turned a 27-0 game into a blowout.
It made it a blowout.
They gave up 300 yards in the first half.
Right, and the only stops that the Patriots got in the first half were the result of a bad overthrow by Alex Smith that missed a wide open guy on the first drive that caused a punt. And then they scored a touchdown, and then I think the second one after that was a dropped pass that led to a punt. Other than that, Kansas City just did whatever it wanted, and they threw it and ran it with equal efficiency.
Yeah, and you know when we said, do I sound funny?
No. You sound sick.
I know you're a little under the weather, but you sound all right.
When we said that Jamaal Charles might not be ready for the load or whatever, he
might not
really
be ready
good.
To run for 200 yards tonight.
He looked really good.
Because I think he only had 100. But, you know, what are you going to do?
And he made some nice moves, and that one wasn't pretty.
Why don't we
get right into the good?
Yeah.
It won't take long.
I was going to say, let's roll the open for that, but Zach has taken care of the many, many phone calls we're being flooded with. The good, the bad, and the injured from this game tonight.
I got the good.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up!
On the Patriots postgame show.
Not an easy one to do tonight. I could think of a couple of players, and I'm sure you're going to name them, Andy. What do you got for the good?
Well, first of all, just in the background, Bill Belichick on SportsCenter doing his press conference live. His throw-up face, not as throw-uppy as I expected, which is, you know, reading a lot from afar and just a visual, but he was actually acknowledging some questions, nodding to them and agreeing with some people.
Maybe, you know, we never really have seen this. There was a stat during the game, late in the game, that this is only the third time that Brady's ever been behind by 27 or more points in a game.
Yes.
Maybe when you get blown out that bad, we're not used to seeing this, obviously. Maybe when you get blown out that bad, Andy, you sort of resign yourself to the fact, I mean, pretty much the whole second half, I think the Patriots knew they were going to lose the game. And maybe you just look at it a little bit more analytically, and you're beyond mad at that point, and you're just really trying to figure out what you're going to do to fix it. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you play a mess of a game, and you're really disgusted because you don't think you played well, and you feel like you gave a game away. Well, I don't think the Patriots feel like they gave a game away tonight.
No, the Chiefs took everything they wanted.
The Chiefs just dominated.
In the good, it started early on. We saw Matthew Slater continuing to dominate in his punt coverage.
He was excellent.
Dropping people for no gain or short gains. The good, Brandon LaFell, even though I think you could still argue they're a little bit cheap yards, he's building up some cheap yards and some cheap catches that he's kind of adding to. And, you know, maybe this, and I wrote this on the website, maybe this can be a springboard into earlier, more productive, game-altering type plays early. But he had a couple big plays, catch and runs, both from Brady. And then, you know, the next part of my sentence kind of devalues it. And then also from Garoppolo later in the game.
Yeah, but I will say, and I know you sort of made fun of me a little bit for this, but early in the game when it was still competitive, I think it was early in the second quarter, there was the third down. The Patriots were in their own end, you know, around the 35-yard line. And so it was third and four, and the Chiefs were bringing everybody. They were coming with a blitz, and LaFell read it just like Brady read it. He was the hot receiver. That's the kind of play that I think can be a springboard, you know, to use your terminology, Andy. That's when Brady looks and says, hey, I needed him to bail me out there. I needed him to be on the same page as me, and he was. He made the catch. It was a 14-yard gain, gave them a first down at midfield. Now, that drive ended up stalling, but that's the kind of play that I would look at it, you know, heading into a game like this and say, he doesn't have the faith in those guys to do those things. At least for one night on that one play, LaFell was able to do it. Now let's see if he can build on it.
And then another one I would include, Brian Stork. You know, he made his first career NFL start at a place where, yes, they broke the noise record by 4 or 5 decibels. Didn't poop himself.
As far as we know.
And, you know, I kind of asked you guys, did anybody see him get killed on any, you know, because there were examples of everybody else getting killed on that offensive line. And there were actually multiple examples because Cannon came in, they moved some guys around, Wendell late. Stork, I thought, was competitive. The one play, Paul, when he was pulling out on a run early, get blowed the bleep up by Mauga.
Yep.
But that's a physical thing. Okay, you know, it happens. But, you know, I just thought for the spot, the position, while everything was kind of falling to pieces around him, I thought Stork was okay for his first career start in a hostile environment.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably be a little bit more less on him, and I know that Andy is simply trying to grasp at the straws here.
We always have three.
With a 41-14 loss. I have a hard time
including the trio.
I have a hard time including an offensive lineman tonight. I felt like in the first half they did everything they possibly could to protect those guys. The ball was coming out in the second and a half. They were running shuffle passes. They were running quick screens. Anything not to get Brady killed. And then all of a sudden it became a two-score game. And
you say shuffle?
Shuttle? Shuffle? What would you call it?
I say shovel, but I don't know.
Shovel? Okay. Shovel
I don't know
pass.
Which is right. I'm not.
No, shovel. I don't know. Where do you go? Shovel?
I would go shovel.
And Brady,
yes.
Shovel with a V. I think that Andy and I generally go shovel in print on that. But we always have this conversation every time we bring it up.
Usually it's in the office, not on the air.
Yeah.
When callers are lined up.
But I just felt like Brady wasn't getting killed early only because of scheme-related things, and then once they passed, because they had a pass, then he did get killed. And I have a hard time sort of putting any of the offensive linemen on the up arrow.
Let's do this so that we don't spend 2 hours on the bad list. Let's name the three worst things. I mean, what would you put as the worst three things from this game tonight? And I'm sure we're going to work our way through all of the negative things in tonight's game, because there's a lot of them, and we're going to get to a lot of calls too. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Lines are jammed, but keep trying. We're going to get to the calls early and often on the show. Want to hear from you. Want to get your thoughts on this one. We're also going to hear from, of course, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, who was benched in this game for Jimmy Garoppolo in the fourth quarter. That's what it is.
It's no, I know. He wasn't alone. Like, there were benchings
there were
of other
benchings
people.
Left and right. Nate
Ryan was benched. Nate Solder found himself on the bench.
A lot of benchings.
Sebastian Vollmer found himself on the bench.
Benched.
You know, that offensive line that everybody
Chandler
seeks
Jones
consistency.
Benched.
There, was he?
No,
yes.
I think he got hurt.
You think he was hurt?
Yeah.
I don't know how hurt he was.
Right arm slash shoulder, according
but
to
didn't,
the
didn't
peeps
he
that
play?
Were in the house.
Didn't he play again after that?
Yeah, he came back in.
and then he went back to the bench.
Oh, I didn't notice
that. And it was right after he got blown up on a run.
Yeah. Well, now, I will say that the worst that you said, what were the worst things? Yeah. Just run defense in general. And yeah. I think that they really, really targeted Chandler Jones.
They did. And he either got pushed around, turned around, pancaked, or found himself just flat out up the field, and they would run him right out of the play, and they would run inside of him. He, for as good as I think he's been for the first couple weeks, he and they got exposed, and I made the joke, you know, this is kind of what happens when the other team's best running back comes back for your game rather than missing your game to whatever, injury or beating his kid.
I have a very subtle bad that...
That broke into the top three?
Yeah, well, we talked a lot about it in the pregame. Just the decision to go with three wide receivers and five running backs.
That did not pay dividends tonight.
You know, what was the thought process?
So was Brandon Bolden active?
Yeah.
Did he play?
I didn't remember seeing him on offense. I think James White got his snaps on offense. But my question would be, if you're going with five running backs, Andy, you know a lot more about football than Mark and I. You like to enlighten us. Wouldn't you think you would want to run the ball?
Yeah.
You have three wide receivers and five running backs, and they came out and threw the ball in the first three plays.
But that's what they do.
I know. Does that make sense?
No. You don't have to yell at me.
Okay, but personnel aside, does that make sense?
No, well, it's a team that, as Andy pointed out in the pregame, averaging 5.1 a carry allowed.
But that's a second straight week against a team that allows 5 yards a carry.
They couldn't run it.
They came out and threw the ball.
And I don't care what the final numbers were.
Last week was the gun. It was
worse. They had a number of, you know, 8, 10, 12-yard runs. James White and Ridley at the end of the game when it was 41-7.
But what I'm saying, even with the five running backs, is that how you want to approach the start of this game in Kansas City tonight? I would think probably not. I mean, early on in this game, you get the whole crowd thing going on, right? The noise thing. Slow things down for yourself if you get the ball there at the start of the game.
The problem
what are you coming out firing three passes for?
But the problem is it gets back to what we said. The line can't block right now. You know, even the play I talked about, Stork, who I had as one of my better, you know, he gets blown up pulling around. You can't have that happen. You can't have Nate Solder whiffing on Tamba Ali for a strip sack. You can't have Cameron Fleming whiffing on a guy. There's just nothing there right now up front to build upon. Nothing. No confidence in the running game. No confidence in the passing game. There's nothing there.
Everybody was bad tonight. The defensive line was bad. The offensive line was bad. The secondary was bad. Tom Brady, put him on the list, was bad tonight.
Certainly.
Tom Brady was absolutely
bad.
Both picks were horrendous. He had other bad throws that were not picked off. He had a very bad night. I don't put the strip sack on him, though, by the way.
No.
I'm not putting that one on him. Some people have.
Nor should you. Who? How? Why?
Mike Florio. Mike Florio has.
Florio's an idiot. The man once reported that Terry Bradshaw was dead. And the man blocks you.
Andy never gets tired of saying
that. The man blocks you for questioning anything on Twitter. I mean, he has the itchiest block finger of anybody I know.
Does that mean I got blocked? And I questioned him tonight.
And the man started out as this guy who was like this big ball badass that like reports on all the rumors and everything. You question him once since he sold out to the league and now carries the league water. And, you know, he's not worth talking about.
All right. Well,
too much time spent on him.
I just thought I would give that to you.
But, no, if we're going to, you know, I think the run defense, the tackling, you know, we had Gerard Mayo just chasing down the field, it seemed like, with regularity. Gerard Mayo in matchups where he's chasing Dwayne Bowe across the field. Nothing worked defensively tonight. Nothing at all that they were able to. They couldn't tackle. Logan Ryan couldn't tackle.
First third down of the game, by the way, who did they target?
Darrell Revis. Darrell Revis couldn't cover. Devin McCourty couldn't tackle.
A lot of guys losing their footing, as Andy said.
It was
just bad. Bad all around.
Horrific on both sides of the ball. You know, we're back to that. And now we're watching on SportsCenter. Work to win. The Chiefs are enjoying the postgame locker room. Dude's got
Andy Reid looks like he's enjoying the postgame spread.
You know what, Paul? He might have lost
God, I think he looks like he lost some weight. I said that and you guys laughed at me. I was being dead serious.
Right. Well, you know what sucks.
It's not as
him.
Much. It doesn't look like there's as much red as there used to be green.
The team color is red, which is not a good look for a big man.
But I don't think there's as much red as there used
red
to be
is
green.
A bad look.
Yeah,
used to be a lot more green. It was with the
like
Eagles.
A Christmas tree.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, I don't care where you want to start. They didn't play well.
Yeah. Let's get to some of these calls.
That's what I think.
I would go right. I would, especially because it's a night game.
It's late. Raw emotion. baby.
I want to hear from people. And you know what? We can go on and on and on. You guys watched the game. You know what was bad. We want to hear your thoughts on it and, you know, hear what you have to say. Hear that raw emotion, as Andy just said.
That's what I
for
want.
Sure. That's what he wants. Let's go to Mike. He'll lead us off. What's up, Mike?
Not much. I just wanted to say I rounded up 6 Patriots fans in South Dakota to watch the game tonight. That is really hard to do, and this is what I got.
And it'll never happen again.
Yeah, I'll never get them back together. It's like, no, we won't go to your house again. But all I wanted to say is I'll say one highlight. I thought Stork, for a rookie playing, you know, first year, I thought he did pretty good. Him and Connolly seemed to hold up, except for a few plays, and everything fell apart around him.
I agree.
Where do we go from here? We're playing Cincinnati next week. That's a tougher defense.
Yeah.
It's a significantly tougher defense.
It's also a better offense.
Yeah.
So yeah, right now you're not playing good football, so it doesn't matter. Basically what we're seeing is if you play a crappy team, you'll have a chance to maybe hang on for the win. If you play a good team or even a decent team, you lose. If they play with any execution on the day. And you're right. If the Bengals, who had an extra week to prepare for this, coming off the bye, come in here and play like they're capable of, you're going to lose. You're probably going to be embarrassed again because right now you're not doing anything at, in my opinion, a capable or a competitive level. They're just not very good right now. And we saw, I think, the defense, when they've played a decent offense that didn't give it away the first week and the fourth week, they struggled.
Just one more question then. So do you think we need to bury the ball? Will that fix it?
I think we need to bury the team.
From which game?
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good night.
All right, Mike.
I think I gave him what he wanted there.
855-PATS-500.
I mean, I'm only half kidding. I mean, this is 4 weeks now.
I said to you, I think this might be one of the worst 4 weeks.
In my opinion, they only played reasonably well in one of the four games, and that was Minnesota. And I do think that, and I listen, Fred's going to come back, you know, tomorrow, and he's going to yell at me for being reactionary, but I'm not being reactionary. This is how I felt all along.
Quarter of the season doesn't really feel like that's termed reactionary.
Well, but my point is,
that's 25%.
I'm not stunned by the defensive performance tonight. I'm a little surprised. I didn't think it would be that bad. I didn't think they'd get run on like that.
Especially in the run game.
Yeah, I didn't think they'd get run on like that. But I am not a believer in this defense because I have not seen this defense play well against what I would consider a competent opponent. I'm not talking about quality. I'm not talking about Denver or, you know, a really high-powered offense, Green Bay. I'm talking about competence. The difference tonight and last week is Alex Smith has been in the league for 10 years, and Derek Carr was playing his third game. Alex Smith didn't miss all the throws that Derek Carr... He missed some, but he didn't miss all the throws that Derek Carr wasn't able to make or didn't have the patience to make last week. Until I see this defense shut down an NFL offense, I'm not going to necessarily just say that this defense is completely rebuilt. They looked awfully ordinary tonight. Ordinary to bad. And Andy, you made a good point too. With all this jobs that are just open. Tavon Wilson out there a lot tonight. That tells me that they're not satisfied back there because he hasn't played a lot of defense the last few weeks.
And he's not very
Malcolm
good.
Butler is playing for Logan Ryan. Logan Ryan's playing for Alfonso
weeks.
Dennard.
Two consecutive
Who's
weeks.
Who's playing for Brandon Browner?
Brutal.
Logan you know, Ryan's does it get fixed when Brandon Browner comes back? I don't know.
No.
Maybe it does.
Nope.
Maybe it does. But
well, nothing gets fixed until Revis looks like Revis.
And I still think that you looking at that 3-4 front that they've been trying to play, that I think Chandler Jones is ill-suited for, and now you lose, I mean, I can't even believe this sentence is going to come out of my mouth, but you lose Silver Salinga, and that prevents you from using Vince Wilfork outside and having Salinga on the nose, and now Chandler Jones has to play 3-4 end, and that's what your run defense is. Because let me tell you something, that's what the run defense looked like in week one, the last time Chandler Jones played exclusively 3-4 end.
And he got pushed around, he got squished.
Turned
a couple
constantly
different times. Remember
in that
the
game.
Time was that Chandler Jones who was underneath Eric
we couldn't
Fisher
find
on
him.
The ground?
We couldn't he's find him. Not, and Andy goes, then I think he's under Eric Fisher right now.
He's not big enough.
He's not.
He cannot
it's not even his
play
fault.
That position. It's not even his fault. You're right.
You know who the highest
I mean, he
rated
looks
quarterback
terrible,
of the night was?
But you know.
Jimmy Garoppolo?
Just barely, though. 147.9 beat 144.4 for Alex Smith.
Wow.
You allowed Alex Smith 140.
And I don't mean to be disrespectful to Alex Smith because I think he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's a stiff. I don't. And I'm not trying to, I'm not being one of those, oh, you know, you let Ryan Tannehill is not the equal of Alex Smith, in my opinion. But Alex Smith is Alex Smith. If he could do this, Andy Dalton can do it next week, too. They're very similar guys, those two guys. As long as the game's played on their terms, they can be very effective.
I know fans probably don't want to hear this because we did it last week, but I continue to just, my mind just like rolls forward. The Lions, the Bears, the Packers.
Oh, my.
No, I'm being like dead serious.
Lions, Bears.
These teams that have better receivers, better weapons, better quarterbacks.
You haven't even talked about the Packers and the,
no, I know.
And the Broncos
and
the Colts.
I know.
Those are teams with real weapons.
And I know it's early, but how far do you go into a season before you say it's not early anymore?
Well,
you're a quarter of the way in. You've played one quarter
right.
of your
You're
games.
At a poll.
It gets late early there.
Right.
I just, you know, I know we're Patriots.com.
Put it this way.
We're heading into October.
You know, another month from now, you're at the midway point.
Right. You double the quarter and you get a half.
You know, and you know, like to break up. You know
what
they,
I'm saying? No,
but
it's
but every,
not that far away.
No, but every
no,
team,
and I know.
Every team does it. You break it up into quarters. Well, the first quarter has been highly disappointing. I think they're fortunate to be 2-2.
Right, and that's my point. And it's sort of what I talked about whenever we talked about it. And Mark actually brought it up when we were walking up to the conference room to watch the game. Oh, they'll be fine because they're always better late. And Belichick teams, they figure it out. And Brady offenses, they figure
what
it
I
out.
What I say to
and,
you.
Sooner or later, it doesn't happen.
That runs out right. at some point.
Andy's been talking about it all week, and I agree. And listen, you know, I just said that they're fortunate to be 2-2. They got thoroughly outplayed in the two losses. They had no chance to win either one of their games. And they needed a very questionable holding call to preserve a lead against Oakland. And then you look and you see Teddy Bridgewater put 41 points on the board for Minnesota, or 35 of them before he left with an injury for Minnesota. And you wonder, jeez, if he played and he played well, what would the Minnesota game have been like if the other team didn't throw the
because
ball away
Matt
four
Castle
times?
Was so
Matt Castle cost them that game.
Game.
So you sort of look at it and you say, wow, even the bad teams, you know, the so-called gimmies, and we talked about it last week. We went down the whole schedule and we said, are these losable games? And we all agreed. All three of us agreed on Kansas City. Losable. I don't think I would have said that before the Oakland game.
And then the next step we took was I brought up, well, a Joe average team, how many of their losable games, how many do they lose? And I probably 50%, right? If you're a middling team. So therefore,
if they're
going
to lose 5 or 6 games, because we had half of the 13, right? We had 10 of the 13, I think,
as losable. So if you lose 5,
you already lost
once.
Now you're 10-6, 9-7 team, and maybe you're not a lock.
Now we get to my next point, too. You still win the division because the rest of the division is getting rid of their
quarterback. Well, what's going to be interesting, Andy, and the difference might be, and we're getting a little ahead of ourselves and probably
what we do.
Reactionary, but it'll be interesting to see how, because some of those losable games are division games. And they already lost their first division game.
Well, do this, Paul. Think of it this way. If you look at the rest of their schedule and you say, which are the teams that are definitively worse than the Patriots, it's the division games. It's nothing else. Look at the non-division games.
But I would have said no, that Buffalo is not losable. But now I look and I say, well, they're making a quarterback change, and they're going with, I think, a guy who has enough experience to be competent, and Kyle
Maybe.
Orton.
And they've got a decent defense.
Because E.J. Manuel cost them a game yesterday, Buffalo. And I think he probably would have done the same against the Patriots. Now they don't have that luxury. Now maybe Kyle Orton is terrible, but I've seen Kyle Orton play pretty well against the Patriots in the past.
All right, so put that one, you know, somewhere on the fence. But look at these.
Certainly at Buffalo I would put on the fence.
Bengals, Bears, Broncos, Colts, Lions, Packers, Chargers. Those are the non-division games left on the Patriots schedule. Which of those teams would you say the Patriots are even close to being better than or being on par with?
Well,
turn your mic on, Andy.
Chicago.
I think Chicago, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And I would say Detroit because it's here, and I'm just not a big believer in Detroit, but I think that their roster is better than the Patriots.
Well, if you think the Patriots secondary can cover Detroit's receivers after watching them tonight, we'll see.
I didn't say that I think that they can. I'm saying I'm not a believer in Detroit, that's all. Because I think
nor am I.
I think Matthew Stafford
is just so freaking overrated, it's not even funny, but they've got good players there, and they haven't done
I think they
Sue.
Have a better roster than you do. I'll tell you that.
Yes. See, that's the question. They have good players there, and I started to see this on Twitter and people saying, Do we have good players here? Is this team underachieving, or is it not that good?
It's a legitimate question.
Well, I think that's
talent.
That's a fascinating question. And what did you put it in your commentary that's going to be in the paper when we print tomorrow?
It's not a want to. It's a can't.
It is. I mean,
right.
It's
not about desire.
Who
it's
is under? Who is? Who
it's
is,
not about execution.
I think
it's about
they
the
want to be better.
Off, it's about the ability to actually.
I think
do
they
it.
Want to be better. I think they are working hard to try to be better.
Who is off to a very bad start? Who is underachieving badly in the first month of the season for the New England Patriots?
Nate Solder.
I would agree. That is.
He has a track record.
I think
of
he's
playing
a better
here.
Player than he's played so far. Can we?
Tom Brady.
Okay, I'll put him on the list. That's two.
He can certainly play better.
I don't think you're going to get much deeper onto this list.
Darrell Revis.
Maybe.
The only question is Revis not what he was?
Well, we talked about that last week. Is he living off his reputation of him in Rex Ryan's defense from years ago?
And again, he hasn't been terrible. He's there. He's, you know, looks like a decent competitive corner. You're paying him to be, what does Fred like to say, a transformational player. He was supposed to make the other 10 guys better. He was supposed to make Devin McCourty better. He was supposed to make Chandler Jones better. Rob Ninkovich better. That hasn't happened. We're not seeing that because he hasn't been good enough.
Let's go back to the phones. We'll talk to Sean in Canada. Hi, Sean.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Yeah, better than the team.
You know, I don't think the team is doing much worse than I'm doing right now either.
Yeah, you're struggling a little bit. That was a tough one to digest, eh?
You know, it all... Boys, I want to stay positive.
Yes.
You want to stay on the line?
I think he ate his phone.
Right. I think he had trouble. Wow. Would you say he was
inebriated?
Partaking?
Potentially. But I think some people...
Listen, I'm not discouraging that.
He might have just been overwhelmed by the crap he watched.
But I
think there are some fans who are searching for, like, they don't know how to deal with this. They don't know how to deal with four straight weeks where they don't really feel good.
Let's go to Alvin in Texas. Hey, Alvin.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Hey, Alvin.
I don't know what the hell happened. How come, here's one question. How come they didn't give it to Ridley on the second down? They always gave it to Marine all the time.
It's a good question, Alvin.
As somebody who watched the game with Mark Burton and heard him bitch about that all night long, you have a compadre. I don't know.
I'm with you, Alvin.
That might be another guy you could put on the underachieving list is Vereen. He has been thoroughly unimpressive. But I don't know. I don't know if he's underachieving or he's just not that
achieving?
Good.
Now Bill's going to tell. Now your defense sucks, and now that shows us that we suck. And the good thing that I got to tell myself is we might even look at the draft pick if we start playing like this. Pitiful.
I remember the last time we were 2-2, and one of the members of this show
that
started
is
looking
a,
ahead of the
that's
draft.
That's a good omen.
That's a good omen.
Way back when. They were 2-2, and I said they should start prepping for the draft because they had so many injuries. They never lost again. 21 straight games.
They went on the NFL record-winning streak from that point
on.
Won
a couple Super Bowls. So.
We had a point-counterpoint. The Patriots should start preparing for the draft.
And I said yes.
And he said yes.
They never lost again.
They never lost. They literally, they went on a 21. Was it 21? Is that the
21
record? 21
in a row.
Game winning streak.
Bleeping moron.
Thank you, Randy. John is up next. John's in North Carolina. What's going on, John?
Hello. I'm going to try to be quick. I think it's worse than what you guys are saying or worse than what you guys think.
Wow.
Wow.
It's never.
So hold on.
Wait a minute. Let me just correct you for a second,
John. We're not
being
negative enough?
John, it's never worse than Andy and I say. It's never worse than that.
Okay. Well, I saw the game, and I watched it, and I replayed it, but during half, they targeted Vince Norfolk and Mayo. They targeted the heart of the defense. The guy on the Niles Davis, the Kansas City running back, before garbage time started, he had 8.5 yards per carry.
Yep. That is true.
They had a rookie offensive guard on Kansas City, and I saw him put Wolfolk on his butt twice.
That is also true.
So, I mean, there's problems here, guys.
Yeah, no, we've talked about this. You know, Wilfork, even after Minnesota, he said they wanted to be tested. They were disappointed, you know, that Peterson didn't play that game. Well, careful what you wish for. You got a little bit more of a test this week, and I think that defense got exposed for false confidence, false bravado, false expectations based on what we've seen them do. And it's not going to get any easier. That's what we were just talking about. There's no one thing. You know, it's not like, well, the run defense is fine, you got to shore up the back end, or the back end's fine, you got to shore up the front end, or the this edge or that. I couldn't tell you right now one area of strength. Give me an area, a single area that they are good at either defense or offense right now. I don't have one.
Can't do it.
Certainly not off of tonight's game. I would have said going in that I thought that they've tackled pretty well, but they tackled absolutely poorly tonight.
Tonight.
When guys weren't missing tackles, they were falling down.
Yeah, right. I think the next time they play on grass, they should wear cleats. That would be just my suggestion.
Our sources on the ground indicate that both Brady and Belichick sort of took their medicine tonight. They both went for a long time.
Yeah.
Both answered a lot of questions, took all the questions. I guess our buddy Mike Giardi.
Yeah.
From CSNN.
Badgered Bill Belichick, is that correct?
Said that he asked Belichick if the quarterback position needed to be evaluated.
He didn't really.
That's what I'm told. If the quarterback position needed to be evaluated, I'm told that Belichick sort of sneered at him and chuckled.
Wow. That's just wrong. He's just trying to pump up his boy Garoppolo.
Well, that's why I pointed out who asked the question.
We have that audio from both Brady and Belichick. And you know what? Depending on what they said, we might run that in full, depending on if it was good or not. We'll have to find out.
We'll effort that.
We have that locked and loaded, and we'll see what's worth running there. But in the meantime, Andrew is in Buffalo, and he's up next on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Better than the team.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I called even before the season started and told y'all that I wasn't even sold on our offensive line, our running game, and our defense, particularly our defensive line. I know they buffered it up in the offseason with Ron Revis and Browner. I wasn't sold because I feel like if you don't get pressure on a quarterback, and I don't care what good coverage you have, they're going to get exposed. We don't get pressure on these quarterbacks. Any quarterback is going to look good back there when they're stepping up in the pocket and delivering the ball accurately. They're shredding our defense because we're not getting pressure and making them move off their spot. And the offensive line, that it's been an issue. Like, even Nate Solder, I wouldn't pay him, to be honest with you, because I feel like any other Jag guy could be in there and still play the same way he playing. We won't have to pay that kind of money that he's looking for when his contract is up. And Bill Belichick, you know, in press conferences saying, you know, we got to coach better, we got to play better. No, it's a personnel issue. It's not going to get better. It's just going to get worse. It can't get any worse, actually. It's a personnel issue, and he's going to have to address it when this season is over. We're going to have to make some moves in the offseason and do some stuff in the draft. I want to thank y'all for taking my call.
All right, Andrew.
I have a hard time with arguing with
that was a very polite close.
Yeah, but I have a hard time arguing with a lot of that. I would say that it is a personnel issue, but I also don't think the coaching is best used the personnel that the team does have. And one of the things that we talked about already was the 3-4 stuff with Chandler Jones. I thought offensively, it just doesn't seem like. The force feeding of the screens is really starting to bother me after a month. If it's not a wide receiver screen, it's a running back screen. And they're not working. You know, the long one to LaFell notwithstanding in garbage time tonight. They got to figure out a way to incorporate Aaron Dobson or Kembrell Tompkins into this offense because they need a different dimension of receiver. Tonight you saw what happens when Julian Edelman is sort of taken out of the game. They had no answers. If Gronkowski is not going to be Gronkowski this year, and now we're a month in and still really no signs of him being Gronkowski, although it's amazing, he's just so damn good that he still has 3 touchdowns in 4 games, and I agree he's not himself. I mean, am I making too much of that in terms of the outside of the numbers? Something down the field? I mean, Kendall Tompkins and Aaron Dobson both being inactive to me makes no sense at all.
There is
eliminated those.
Pick one and play them.
There is no big play potential.
Nope.
And you saw a little bit tonight with, you know, you could call them big plays based on the yardage with Brandon LaFell. Those were not big down the field threats.
No.
Oh no. They were both shorter throws that let. Yeah. They were big. It was one was a slant and one was a screen.
Right. But did you expect any big plays until Gronk?
But that's what I'm saying. It is a coaching issue because they didn't have guys active.
Correct. Yeah. I can't explain it. I can't. You know, we kind of didn't really understand it pregame.
But let's say this.
No, when we talked about it pregame.
let's not make this mistake, though. I think there is.
Raiders fired Dennis Allen. Did you guys know that?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
It's been up there on the screen for a little while now.
I can't see the screen. No. We said he wasn't going to make it to London. He wasn't going to make it back.
Listen, even with the coaching issues that might exist here and the talent issues, which I think is number one.
Yeah, I agree.
This team could still be better. Right?
I think that you can better use the guys that you do have.
Let's not lose sight of that, even though they may have a lack of talent, and that may not be something that they can ultimately overcome if they want to be championship caliber. You can still be better than what you've been through the first 4 weeks. You can be much better than what you've been so far.
Well, that's just simple execution, right?
Partially,
John McKay would say, I'm all for it.
No, but I mean, Nate Solder, we keep getting back to him, but he's such a glaring example of at least one guy we know has a track record of being better than he is right now, who has been putrid, which has caused you major problems, right? That's a simple guy just blocking, just doing his job. If he's better, the rest of the team is better. There's turnovers involved when he sucks, right?
Yeah, I agree. And one of the things that we're talking about with the offensive line, and this is why I'm really concerned about it long term, you know, you can sit there and say, well, you know, it wasn't as bad tonight. And overall, I don't think it was as bad tonight as it was last week. I thought Oakland had constant pressure on every play. But when you have a hard time blocking, the Patriots don't have a big play offense. It's like Gruden was really hammering all the whole second half. They have to work so hard. They have to go 80 yards, and they have to do it in 10, 12 plays.
They're what they used to make other teams be.
Right. But when
you think you can't drive 80 yards on us, we're just going to keep everything in front. Well, this team can't drive 80 yards.
And you know what happens when you have an offensive line that can't consistently protect? It's really hard to go 5, 6, 7 plays in a row without allowing a pressure that gets you behind the chains. And right now, that's killing this team. That's why they can't convert third downs consistently, because sooner or later, the pressure's coming. And it's going to make Brady throw the ball before he wants to. And they did it a few times tonight on third downs in the first half to get off the field. And in the second half, it was more than that because the game got out of hand. It was 17-0 at the half, and the Patriots opened the second half with getting strip sacked twice in the first two possessions. When you can't block, sooner or later, it's going to derail your offense. And that's been happening for 4 games now. You guys are, like, really studiously looking at the TV.
I was just watching Jamal Charles get mic'd up. He's live on SportsCenter, and they were doing the mic'ing up.
Ankle looks pretty
really
good still, huh?
Not a professional look there by ESPN.
No, but I guess you take it when you can get it, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I actually kind of like that stuff sometimes when you sort of see, like, what really is happening. It's like a like different look. Everything is so staged in TV, like real TV, not like, you know, PFW TV, where we're just sort of, like, flying by the seat of our pants. I kind of like a look behind the scenes, like, oh, yeah, there's that guy's walking in the back there, and I don't know. I just think everything looks so perfect all the time. I like to see a little imperfection. You know, after what I just watched the last 3 hours, I'm used to it.
I mean, there was plenty of imperfection in that game. Here's the phone number, 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. You want to send in an email, you could do that, too. I got to tell you, there's like 4 million emails that have come in since the end of this game.
Read them.
Read some.
We're going to do our best to sort through those and get the good ones out and read them. So webradio@patriots.com if you want to send an email. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs, giving you personalized fantasy news, highlights, stats, and scores across multiple leagues instantly on your TV. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life, now available for $3.99 at a Microsoft store near you. We're going to take a quick timeout. We return to your thoughts coming up next on the Xbox One postgame show here on Patriots.com.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Welcome back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Call the Ace Ticket hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to your host, Mark Bertrand.
So, it's a bad combination for us.
Welcome back to the Xbox One postgame show here on Patriots.com. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. Coming to you live from Gillette Stadium inside our Subway Fresh broadcast studios. Patriots lose to the Kansas City Chiefs tonight down in Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium. Big loss for the Pats. Bill Belichick spoke at length, but I'm going to tell you something. He said very little. He spoke for 10 minutes. He was at the podium for 10 minutes. He gave very short answers with really no substance to them. And here's what he said. This is the first, you know, couple of minutes of him at the podium, including a question about, does the quarterback position need, I forget how it was phrased, need evaluation, as it was phrased. Here's the first couple of minutes of Bill Belichick.
So it's a bad combination for us. Well, we all got to do a better job.
was the decision to put you in Garoppolo related? Was that performance related with Tom or score related?
Well, we played everybody tonight.
Offensive line situation, Bill. I mean, it's unusual to be putting two rookies out there. To my knowledge, and Fleming ever played guard before? I mean, it looks like you're really trying to mix and match there.
Trying to do what thinks best.
Obviously, can you pinpoint what problems there are up there from your coaching standpoint? What they're not doing or what they need to do?
Well, we need to do everything better offensively. And we had like 5 first downs in the first half or something like that. And we did a lot of things wrong, and we turned the ball over in the second half. So pretty much we need to do everything better.
I know when Jimmy came in the game, the score was what it was in the fourth quarter. So do you put much stock into the fact that he was able to move the football and get a touchdown, whereas Tom kind of struggled moving the ball?
No, I think our team, you know, competed. I mean, I thought we competed there at the end. And that's what they should do.
Can the quarterback position be evaluated this week?
Coach, how do you? It's a short week. We all know that. How do you recover from a game like this?
We got to have mental toughness. We're gonna have to have a good week in a short amount of time. And Cincinnati had a week off, so I'm sure they'll be ready to go. And we're gonna have to really work hard and try to make up for that ground. So there's nothing we can do about this game. We gotta move ahead.
That's Bill Belichick after the loss tonight in Kansas City. Nonverbal answer on the does the quarterback situation evaluation. Other media members were then laughing.
Well, clearly Belichick laughed at him. Chuckled. Right. But 3 different questions quarterback related, which I was a little surprised at.
About Jimmy.
Yeah, I mean, one saying, do you put any stock in what Garoppolo did? And then the question about will the quarterback position be evaluated? Now, I actually thought it was a little silly to bring it up. I mean, Tom Brady's your quarterback.
Yeah, no,
am I wrong on making that assumption?
You're not wrong in that.
Everybody
Jimmy Garoppolo
else in the division's changing quarterbacks.
Jimmy Garoppolo is not your quarterback. Tom Brady is your quarterback. Bill Belichick, just based on that response, is not considering any kind of change at quarterback for this team.
That's a good point Andy brings up. You know, usually we just talk about there's no other good coaches and quarterbacks in the AFC East. Well, we're 4 games in, and the other 3 teams have either made a quarterback change or have publicly talked about making one. You know, Geno Smith and Michael Vick, E.J. Manuel to Kyle Orton, and Ryan Tannehill to Matt Moore. And they were already – they've really stepped it up this year with the incompetence in this division.
That's what I was trying to tell you guys earlier. It's an especially bad year.
The thing I find interesting – is the same thing we talked about before the season started. Paul, to Fred, you know, look at this team. It's supposed to be 14 wins. It's supposed to be AFC title game. That's easy. You know, you're there. It's a rematch with Denver. Do you go to Super Bowl? Do you not go to Super Bowl? That's your season. Except you didn't have a starting safety. You didn't have a starting offensive line. We didn't have a starting defensive line. And 4 weeks later, 2-2, 500, you don't have a starting safety. You don't have a starting offensive line. It literally looked like a preseason game tonight on the offensive line. You were starting rookies. You were rotating your tackles later in the game. You know, this to me is, as they like to say, Paul, uncharted waters, as a lot of people like to write it. I like to call it uncharted.
Yes.
But
most of us like to write it that way.
But
ever since I started writing on Word, I always get that one right.
What?
Microsoft Word, correct.
But, 4 weeks in, you don't have a starting 5. You don't.
Everything you just said is extremely valid. It's stuff that...
So it's not even the performance.
We've been arguing with Fred about this.
We started this talking about who can play better, you need to play better, there's nothing they do well, and I actually agree with Bill. I mean, I know it's his coach speak, but they do need to do everything better. But part of starting with working better is knowing who the guy doing the work is. I don't know who the starting 5 offensive linemen are or should be. I can't tell you that right now. I don't have a strong opinion about that. I don't necessarily have a strong opinion about that on the defensive line right now. I don't necessarily have a strong opinion about that at safety. Right? I mean, that's a big chunk of your team. There's like 7 starting jobs. It's a third of your starting jobs. And I would even throw in the whole crap at wide receiver.
It's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine that a team that was – this highly thought of had that many questions heading into it in terms of personnel. Who plays where?
Right. And they still have them.
Yeah, and now we're a month into the season.
Sometimes
and
we think they have questions,
none
but then
of them are
we
really
realize
clear it up. Yeah, they don't have questions. We do. They don't.
Well,
have
you know
them.
What? They
but
have
they
a
have
lot
them.
Of freaking questions.
I mean,
they started two rookies. They rotated two veterans.
I've not seen the situation with Cannon was as part of the equation tonight. They were playing Cannon at right tackle for Vollmer and probably for left tackle too. Now I didn't see Vollmer making any glaring errors to get yanked. Obviously, Solder could have very easily been performance-related because he didn't play well again. But I can't recall seeing that. Andy, your description of it being like a preseason game is dead on.
As Andy says, you know, they have questions. That's where I start to say, do they know how good the team can be? Like, does Bill Belichick have a firm grasp on how good or bad his roster is?
No, I don't think he does.
I don't think he does, which I think is one of the most alarming things about this start for the team. Is that there are these changes, two rookies on the offensive line tonight, even if they have high hopes and they drafted him where they drafted him for a reason and they believe in them as players, do they have a firm grasp on how good or bad the team can be? And I think the answer is no right now. I don't think anyone knows for sure.
And I don't know how you could have a different opinion of that. I mean, I've never seen that. And I think it's interesting in reaction to or in comparison to Dante Scarnecchia talking about this week, they'll get it. They're just working things out. It's never easy. But who's they, first of all? Who's they that's going to get it? I don't know. Because you haven't decided who the guys are worth investing in.
Some of the emails coming in, webradio@patriots.com, some of them very emotional after this game. A lot of strong statements being made here. John writes in, hey, Mark, it's clearly obvious the dynasty is over. The Pats are
signed
less.
Eric Scalavino.
The Pats are less than average. It's time for change when you cannot muster up any points against the 1-2 Chiefs. Wholesale changes from Belichick on down.
Oh.
Belichick has had too much control for too long. He has lost this team. 300 yards in one half is outrageous against the Chiefs. The Pats have become a joke. I'm watching the Chiefs on their sideline just laughing their asses off at how they can run wild on the foolhardy Pats. That's from John.
Calling for the head coach's job.
5.4 a carry they allowed tonight.
Dan the BI
Paul,
man.
Do you agree that Belichick should be fired?
No.
Dan the BI man writes,
nor do I agree that the quarterback position should be evaluated.
We are done. I have not seen the Pats this bad for a long, long time. Offense is dead. Defense is dead. Special teams dead. Chandler Jones dead, except for a coverage sack. Hightower dead. Collins dead. I hope Bill the coach can realize Bill the GM is killing us. Oh, he probably never will. It's from Dan. This is the tone of the emails
now,
tonight.
Is Bill the coach knocking it out of the park right now?
No.
No.
Because I don't think so.
Who's doing worse?
Well, that's what I said.
I don't know.
See, I think it's Bill the GM.
Well, I think Bill the GM is doing worse. And I forget the caller, John, I think, in North Carolina, that was saying, you know, like, we got to coach better. That's crap. They don't have the talent. And I agree that they are lacking in talent in spots. But I think that, to Andy's point, they haven't coached well either. And I think that some of this has been self-inflicted.
Are we sure they're lacking in talent? Like, are we sure that Aaron Dobson can't play?
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure of that. That's where I would put the coaching in. But there are other things that I think they're lacking in some spots. I'm not saying
I think they're lacking
in talent on the offensive line. And I wonder if you gave Bill Belichick, you know, hooked him up to a lie detector test, if he would say he would do that Logan Mankins trade again. I don't know if he would, because I think that you made your team worse in terms of talent. And the number one problem with the team is the offensive line, and you took away its best player.
So you don't.
Now, I'm not saying it would be magically better if Mankins were here, but
do you
wouldn't
believe
be worse.
What he said at the time, which is they had wasn't abundance or whatever, but he felt like they had extra talent on the offensive line, and the Buccaneers had extra talent at tight end.
Yeah, do you believe that? That they had extra talent on the offensive line?
No, it doesn't matter what I believe.
No,
it's
but I'm asking
believes.
You if you believed it.
No, because I didn't like Devy. But do you think he felt that that was a strength, that they had enough talent on the offensive line?
I think this was strictly about money, and no one will convince me otherwise, because you know how stubborn I get. Come on.
Well, I mean, I think it's obvious it's about money.
Yeah, so I don't think that they, but I don't was think he, they really thought that.
But was he talking himself into Devy
yes.
could play?
Yes. That's why I feel like they were talking themselves into a move that made financial sense, because they felt that the player wasn't worth $10 million on the cap, and it was, we got to get We're not giving him $6.25 million because, damn it, he's only worth $4 million.
What's Solder worth?
Not the option that they picked up. We got to look into that. That's not, see what the deal with that is. That's not. We were talking about that during the game. We should probably let the listeners in, you know, on our little conversations that we have when we're not on microphone. They did pick up the option, but we don't believe that's a guaranteed option.
See, I thought it was.
Maybe it is.
I thought it was.
See, if that's guaranteed, then that's, you know.
Because otherwise, why would you not pick it up? Like, it gives you time. You could always cut the guy. Right? Doesn't it just extend it?
Because
I know.
Yeah,
know,
but, well.
Yeah, because didn't, wasn't, yeah. Somebody was yeah. writing about it this week with RG3. It's going to be interesting when his option comes up because it's a quarterback, so it's $16 million or whatever.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I think it's guaranteed.
Got to find out. We got to find out on that.
Now I still, I mean, it's less likely by the week, but I still thought not too long ago that part of the post-Logan Mankins trade was an extension for Solder. I thought that money was going to be wrapped up in, you know, $40 million over the next 5 years for Nate Solder or something.
Megan writes in, hey guys, sorry you have to sit in so late and discuss this horrible performance. The only good player out there tonight, Matthew Slater. And I think in saying that, we all know how bad the rest of the team was. They were uninspired and outcoached. I was looking for some hope this game, but I'm afraid I've made up my mind. This team won't make the playoffs. Bill was outcoached tonight, and I think we all know he's failed as a GM this year. Thanks and take care, Megan.
But what I think makes it terrible is I don't even think they were outcoached. I think they just got beat. I mean, they mismanaged that possession at the end of the half, obviously. Right. But is it great coaching to say we got our running back back and we're going to run him like he can run?
Yeah, I don't think that the Patriots had a very good game plan tonight, but I don't think that that was a big part of the loss.
Like, I didn't see anything that Andy Reid did that was like this, oh, wow, wow.
They had no answers,
he got
Andy.
Belichick.
You know what you saw?
You know
you
what
saw
you do?
You saw another example
you
of another
team. You take
him
back and you get him to the edge.
You saw another example of another team that was able to throw and run with you know, relative efficiency, and the Patriots were powerless to
right.
stop it.
I thought the Chiefs kind of came out and just ran their offense. Short offense. We're going to throw a little bit to Kelce. We're going to make some short throws here. We're going to let Jamaal Charles do his thing. And they all did their thing.
Joel from Connecticut writes in, hey guys, two things. Protect Brady. I honestly believe this is all Googe's fault. He came from the Jets. How much worse of an offensive mind could you possibly ask for? If the Jets could care less where he went from them, I digress, though. I just want to throw this out there and move on to the Bengals. Maybe next week, eh?
Good so he job. Blames Googe.
Good job, Fred. Did a good job reading that email.
It was.
I know. Fred has a hard time reading them, too.
No, it was not me. It was. You want me to print out that email?
No, I know.
The man had been drinking.
I don't think it was a sober email. I tried to piece it together.
But, you know, that's only going to grow.
There's some grammatical problems there.
That is only going to grow that Googe is the problem because it's not just new guys that are struggling. It's guys that were better before you got here. So that's going to be the easy solution, the easy
by all accounts,
lightning rod.
And I'm not saying that he's not the problem because I don't know. But by all accounts, isn't it like a lot of the same stuff? Like that's what they talked to us about, right? When we had that interview on Patriots Today, when he sat down, I think, with Jackie.
Yes.
And
they haven't changed the scheme
stressed,
or the
he
terminology.
He stressed how everything was going to stay the same.
But it's not.
So it's not?
No.
The system hasn't stayed the same?
The system is the same.
So how can you then blame Nate Solder on him? If he's not asking
because
Nate Solder to do anything.
Because he's coaching him.
But he's not asking him to do anything different than he's done, but he's not doing it as well as he was. Why is that Googe's fault?
Because he's not correcting it. He's not preparing him as well. Right? I mean, that's part of the coaching process. It's not just we're going to run this zone scheme this week and this is your assignment.
I think you take away the guy's best player and then you blame it on him. I mean, that just to me lies at Belichick.
Well, then Nate Solder sucks because if he was only competitive because he had a Pro Bowl guard next to him, then he's the most overrated first-round pick in the history of first-round picks. He's in his fourth year. I'm sorry, you can't ride coattails your entire career.
I just have a hard time blaming the position coach.
I have a hard time believing that Nate Solder was created by Logan Mankins, and that's why he sucks.
I'm not
now.
Saying he was created
at some point,
by Logan Mankins.
You have to stand up and be your own player and play, and you're trying to do it, and you're sucking.
But we're going to blame the coach for that.
Yeah, because otherwise I don't think coaches are valuable. If coaches don't play a role in prepping me each week in terms of scheme and game planning and what the other players do and how...
Do you think that he hasn't had a good... I mean, it's preparation is the problem?
I have no idea.
Or he's just getting his butt whooped?
I have no idea.
Like Tom
it
Bahali,
looks to me like he's getting his butt whooped.
Like Tom Bahali blowing by him tonight, right? Like, is that a coaching problem?
I think
or
it
is that
be.
Nate Solder sucking?
I think it can be.
And I
where
don't,
does he
listen,
line up? How does he line up?
I don't have the
you
answers.
Know, all those different things. Where, you know, is he a half a shade off me? Is he a shade off? All that crap, I think, matters. You know, there are tells. There are different factors involved that I think a coach can bring to the table in the preparation process.
I mean, I hear you. And I'm more thinking out loud than I am getting in, you know, into any dispute.
Well, I'm not really disputing anything.
I find it hard to believe. Listen, this could be something that's like 90% of the coach's fault, for all I know. I don't know. But I'm just looking at the what I do know is that it was a group that struggled last year, and then they decided to take away the best player. And, oh, by the way, it's struggling worse this year. I don't know that it would be much different if Dante were still here.
Well, but I also wonder what it would look like if Dante were still here.
I know. I mean, that's
no.
Question
I mean,
that you can't answer.
I mean, would
oh,
Debbie
who
have
would
played?
Actually be playing?
Because Dante, I think, would have had more of a say in who was playing than Guja has.
And maybe Stork would have, you know, if he hadn't been hurt, he might have been ready to start week one. Who knows?
Let's go back to the
phones.
I
still don't see, you know, I didn't see a discernible difference tonight.
Keith is in Texas.
From what I've seen the last few games.
Oh, they sucked.
No, I know. But everybody's like, oh, Stork looked good.
See, I thought Stork was competitive. I thought he was fine. And I mean, to me, that's a win for him.
You know,
I expected him to poop his pants.
Well, I was going to say, you were expecting him to literally and figuratively poop
if
his pants.
If you told me who
he didn't.
Who played the best of the well, I guess it's seven guys on the offensive line tonight, I would say Stork.
Keith, go ahead.
Really?
Yeah. I never saw him get killed. Although,
you did on
me,
that,
I don't know
you,
if I
you
saw
did on that one play.
That one play, physical play, got blown up. The guy was
I just
a little
think
stronger.
That it was a problem all night, the line. Again.
Keith, what do you got?
I'm just going to say this team sucks. there's really no other word for it. You know, after this game, I think we need to change that one commercial from think of New England as dumb, and it's, now we think of New England for screwing Tom Brady out of Super Bowl. I don't know what I saw today.
Yeah, it was
Does
ugly.
Tom Brady have any responsibility for that?
For today?
No, just in general, the malaise, the offensive malaise.
I mean, I think that he does need to play. I think it was a caller like 2 weeks ago that says that he needs to play a little bit more loosely or stupid, you know, just air the ball out. I do think that he's thinking too much. But
yeah, that didn't go so
well. I mean, ultimately, you know, it's Belichick that's constantly finding ways on how to present more obstacles in our way to get back to the Super Bowl and actually win one.
Well, I do think it's interesting. They go out and have this performance today after the whole Patriot way was, and we never really got to talk about this at the end of the PPGS, pregame social, that the whole Patriot way was sort of shredded on ESPN by Steve Young and Trent Dilfer questioning, you know, rumors or the idea that this is a team that just wants to get in the tournament. They're not really trying to win it. Their business model is different than championship-driven, which... I don't know that that's true. I don't really believe that that's true. I find it hard to believe that they specifically have like this plan in mind where we're really not competing for championships. I mean, they are competing for championships. You're going to the AFC title game. You know, whatever you think of that, you went to a Super Bowl. You're within stone's throw. You signed Darrell Revis. Why would you sign? Was that about tickets? Where suddenly you couldn't sell tickets, so now you needed Darrell Revis? I just don't understand.
The thing is, I don't think they do it any differently than they ever have.
Right.
And it was good enough to win three titles in 4 years. I don't think that they've ever looked at it and saying, we are just dropping everything. We're going all in, balls to the wall. I think there have been times where it looks like they've loaded up, like in 07, but I think it was more circumstantial than it was actual fact.
Like wasn't it circumstantial that they got Darrell Revis?
Yeah.
That he was released and he was willing to sign the contract that you were a short term. You know, if another team out there had said, and he was interested in it, we'll give Darrell Revis, you know, 6 years, $85 million with $55 million guaranteed, the Patriots would not have signed Darrell Revis.
But a lot of people would say that they loaded up in 07. The year they went undefeated, right?
Correct.
And you look at it, and I think the similarities, they got Darrell Revis when he became available. They got the best defensive player available that year, too, in Adalis Thomas, right? And they signed him. people add in the Wes Welkers and Randy Mosses of the world, neither one of those guys was signed with the idea of what they ended up doing in mind. I mean, especially Moss. They got him in as a flyer for a fourth-round pick.
The only thing I will say is they were more aggressive in free agency. The guys that they were aggressive with.
They got Stallworth, Kyle Brady.
Sammy Morris.
Thomas. I mean, very early on in free agency. Early, they went in and they did it. I would say that they went after more that year. But I'm talking about people look at it and it's Moss and Welker. Those were draft day trades that they didn't have any idea. They didn't go after Moss to say, you know what, we're going all in because we're getting Randy Moss. They didn't know Randy Moss was going to catch 23 touchdowns. They didn't know he had that kind of ability left. It just kind of worked out that way. And I agree with Andy. I don't ever look at this team and say that they're not championship-driven. Now, maybe they've been a little lulled into a false sense of security with the lack of depth in the AFC the last few years, and you mentioned the AFC championships, and really they haven't really had to do much to get to those AFC championships. Right. They've been able to win a weak division and secure a bye and win one home game. One of them against the Denver Broncos with Tim Tebow playing quarterback. One of them against the Houston Texans team that completely fell apart down the stretch. And one of them last year against an Indianapolis Colts team that really wasn't ready for that spot.
I just think all the failings have nothing to do with any philosophy.
I agree.
They're failings. They're failures in free agency. There's failures in drafting. You know, did
this defense should be.
Did they draft Aaron Dobson to be inactive because they don't really want to be all in for a title? No, they drafted Aaron Dobson to be a good receiver. He's not a good receiver. You blew that. Did they spend $30 million on Danny Amendola because, you know what, we're not really trying to win? No, they signed Danny Amendola to be a key part of a good offense, and he's not that. They're failures. And you can go over these for years, especially, you know, the mid-round picks and how many second and third-round picks that they've blown, right? You know, if Jake Beckett were a competitive player, he'd be here and he'd be part of a defensive line mix. Maybe your line looks different. I just think they failed in personnel moves, and that's not – I don't view that as cheap or some plan to be just good enough but not really go all in. You just missed.
I would agree with that.
You can't nod on radio.
No, I know. I just got
to
make sure
sometimes
you're done.
When it's after midnight, it's hard to like add something to something you so – roundly agree with, and I don't think it's any grand plan
lockstep,
to be just good enough to be competitive. I don't know what else to say. I don't think there's any validity to the criticism to that extent. I do think that they have not necessarily gone all the way.
I was going to say, I think they could still do more, though.
They could do more.
They made a lot of mistakes, but they could still
do more. They've been successful. And that's where it's a fine line, because I like their business model of, you know, I don't know if people want the old school way, you know, the old Titans under Floyd Reese, where everybody thought you had to load up and then come back to earth and clean out your cap and then load up.
See, but I think people have figured out how to do the cap now, and you don't have to load up to fall down. You can load up and manage it and then load up again. You know, especially with the way the cap is going to be increasing.
But
back in those days, the cap didn't increase the way it does now.
But that's my point. They spend their money. Even if it rolls over, they spend it. You can argue that they blew money on Logan Mankins, or they blew money on Danny Amendola, or they blew money on Vince Wilfork, or they blew money on Gerard Mayo, and you're not getting your bang for your buck out of your $50 million players. But it's not like they didn't spend it. That's what I'm getting back to. They're decisions that are poor, not a philosophy that is poor, in my opinion.
Sometimes they spend it.
See, I think they spend a lot of money. I just think they piss it away.
Oh, I think they spend a lot of money, but I don't think they spend to the cap all the time.
Tully Bantakane and James Sanders. I think they overpay a lot of people. Again, you can't point to me on radio.
Remind me to tell you something off the air.
Well, that's just not fair to the listeners.
I can't tell you.
We just can't do things like that.
That's just not fair.
It's just not right.
Listeners, Google Tully Bantakane. Maybe something will come up.
Maybe. Probably not.
Lost the Super Bowl ring? Didn't he lose the Super Bowl ring?
Did he lose it or sell it?
No, I think he lost it.
Oh, he lost it like 20 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
Xbox One.
Around the time he was born.
I got to read this, guys. Shut up.
Sorry.
Xbox One, not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. giving you personalized fantasy news, highlights, stats, and scores across multiple leagues instantly on your TV. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life, now available for $3.99 at a Microsoft store near you. We're going to hear from Tom Brady coming up next on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Go nowhere.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. at a Microsoft store near you. Yeah.
Join Mark, Andy, and Paul by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or get in touch with the show via email at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show and your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
Patriots lose tonight 41-14, your final score in Kansas City. That moves the Patriots to 2-2 on the year. They are at 500. They lose tonight. Tom Brady in this game was put on the bench in the fourth quarter. 14 of 23 on the night for Tom. 159 yards passing, one touchdown, and two picks, one of which was a pick six. His quarterback rating on the night, 59.9. That's how he finished the evening. Tom Brady was not good at all in this game. He was one of the many problems for the Patriots in the game tonight. And here is what Tom Brady had to say when he stepped to the podium after the loss.
I learned from it. You know, it was just a bad performance by everybody. And just want to make sure we never have this feeling again. So, you know, we all got to figure out what we have to do better. And, you know, we just couldn't get started. Got behind, turned the ball over in the third quarter, and then fought in the fourth quarter, which is good to see. But, you know, but you got to get ahead of these teams and play from ahead and play our style to get behind to a team that's a good team on the road. There's a lot of energy. You know, we just couldn't afford to do that.
Tom, I know you never like to come out of the game. How'd you handle the news of you coming out and Jimmy going in?
They told me I was coming out, so...
I know it's a grind for you right now, obviously. You know, both sides of the ball. You guys got to get through this. It's going to be a lot of external noise. How quick can you throw this type of game behind you guys as a team as opposed to losing in the final seconds?
Well, quick. I mean, we have to. Ultimately, it's all going to count the same in the end. Yeah. Counts as a loss. So as quickly as we can, got to move on. We're already on a short week. It's probably good that it's a short week. But, you know, we just... Like I said, we're down 17-0 at halftime and had to come out to get a spark there in the third quarter and didn't do that. So we started too slow these halves, first quarter, third quarter, and put us in a hole. And we're just not making enough plays. So the guys who have the opportunities to make plays, we got to make them. That's me, certainly, and skilled players. And we got to do more on first down. We got to gain more first downs. We got to convert on third down, but we don't convert a third down in the first half. And, you know, we're not going to score any points. We're not scoring any points. And then,
you guys are struggling to make first downs. Do you need more stuff like what you got from LaFell tonight? You know, taking a slant,
yeah,
popping it outside.
Some great catch and run by him, and I think he's always done a good job of that. So, you know, those are things we're still learning. But he did a great job tonight. It was great to see. Great to be in the huddle with him. You know, it's not easy for any of us when we're down like that and you face some adversity and you want to look across the other guys and you want to, you know that you're fighting with guys that are going to fight to the end. And he certainly did that.
Tom, is there any one thing that you can look at and say, you know what, we do this well, this is something we can work on going forward? Because after a game like this, you look at it and you say, nothing that you look at and say, oh, we can do more of that.
It's a good point. I mean, I think there's not much that we're doing well enough on a consistent basis to score points. So run game, pass game, consistently when we have to throw it, when we have to run it, convert on third down, you know, red area, it's all problems. So, you know, like I said, I wish there was an easy answer. I don't think there's an easy answer. I think we've got to fight our way through it and see what kind of team we have. But I don't think there's going to be any easy games for us. Not that we'd ever expect that in the NFL, but... you know, we got our work cut out for us. We got a great football team coming in this week that's undefeated, and we got to play certainly our best game to beat them.
Tom, the offensive line has been. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, just to follow, what went through your mind as you sat there? If Jimmy was going on the field and they had to kick off, you were on the bench kind of by yourself and just solo. What was going through your mind at that point in time with the score of the rest?
Well, it's just, it's just a disappointing night. You know, you never expect these things. We've been on the other end of this quite a few times. But, you know, we've lost some tough road games before. And I know we're not going to quit. There's one thing I could assure you that. There's not a guy in that locker room that's going to quit. We stick together. We work on the things that we need to work on. You know, we all feel we got a good football team. We just didn't play like a good football team tonight. You know, but we'll see what we're made of this week.
the offensive line, the combinations are changing every game. Tonight, almost every series. Have you ever experienced that before in the NFL, and has that made it hard for you to get comfortable in the pocket?
You know, I think we're all trying to do a better job. I think it's not necessarily one position, it's all positions. So, yeah, a lot of guys have been rotating, trying to find combinations that work at every position. But, you know, ultimately, the guys who make the most plays, the most consistent, are going to be out there. So, it's a tough night.
Turned you down that physically on both sides of the ball, you really got whipped. I mean, you ran for over 200 yards. It stuffed you on third down. I think you were 22% conversion rate on third down. You didn't really run the ball well. Is the physical side of it, the whipping that you do, concerning?
That's part of it. I mean, I think certainly, you know, running the ball and stopping the run is important to the physical toughness of the team. And, you know, you just lose control of the game and it becomes one-dimensional like it did there in the third quarter, and we stopped running it. And, you know, we didn't do much offensively, so I wouldn't say we've had, you know, very productive four games to start, but hopefully we can learn from it and, you know, understand the things that we're doing wrong and, you know, make the improvements. But there's nobody that's going to dig us out of the hole. I mean, we kind of created it for ourselves. We're going to have to, you know, look each other in the eye and see what kind of commitment we're willing to make for each other. And I try to do a lot better.
Do you think you need outside help when it comes to your offensive line, going outside the team and bringing somebody else in?
I think those guys are playing, you know, really hard. I mean, they're working hard every day in practice. So, you know, those decisions are certainly not my control. And I have a lot of confidence in all the guys that are in there. You know, but like I said, it's not just it's all of us. It's not one position on offense. It's everybody. And certainly the playmakers that we have and the skill guys, you know, we all got to make plays. And that's what's going to help our team more than anything.
Is this shocking to you to some extent? I mean, losing's one thing, but the whole way this game went, is there a sort of shock to a degree that maybe is good for the team, you know?
Well, I think we can't afford to just not be productive, not convert third downs, not score points. Then you're behind against, you know, a team on the road with good pass rushers, and then, you know, they just start teeing off, and that's what they're good at. They did the same thing against Miami last week. Miami did the same thing against us in week one when they got ahead of us. So we got to do a better job playing from ahead. We got to have mental toughness when we're playing from behind. Make some plays that get us back in a position to compete with a competitive score. But there's probably a lot of things to learn tonight that we'll review. And but we got to move on. We got to do a lot better than what we're doing now.
Tom, how do you not let a game like this shape the confidence of the team? There's some guys here that haven't had the level of success in the NFL that you have had. So how do you make sure this doesn't shape the confidence of a club?
Well, if you play poorly and you know, you're not going to win many games, especially on the road against good football teams. So I think it's just, you know, we got to find a way to play better. And I think that's what the lesson that we learned from it. You know, confidence, I'm not worried about, you know, whether it goes up or down, or, you know, there's going to be a lot of negativity. Everyone's going to tell us how terrible we are. It's just the way it goes in the NFL. But, you know, we got a lot of character in our locker room. We got a lot of guys that are going to work hard for each other. And, you know, we're going to try to see where we can certainly individually make the improvements so that helps as a team.
After a loss like tonight, how excited is a player? How excited are you to get back out there and do another thing on Sunday and try to erase this problem?
Well, we're going to, you know, we got no choice. That's what we're faced with. And, you know, we'd like to go out and do a lot better job than we did tonight. We're going to need to do a lot better job as a good team that we're playing. And, hopefully we can learn from this and find some type of silver lining. And no, we certainly never want this feeling again.
Tom, it's unusual for a team as good as the Patriots are, and certainly have been, to have that kind of movement in the offensive line. Do you get any input into whom you'd like to see up there? And if not, would you like to have some?
You know, I think those coaches do a great job of coaching, and it's not – I mean, I always have conversations with everybody, you know, the players, coaches. I mean, I've been around for a while. So, you know, we're all trying to find something that works for all of us and not at just that position, at every position. Guys that are, you know, since the beginning of training camp, guys have been fighting hard for spots. So, ultimately, it comes down to dependability, consistency, and those are the things that I got to think about for me in order to, you know, help this team win. That's what I have to be, consistent and dependable.
What happened on the interception?
interception because it just frankly looked like a bad throw.
Which one?
The one they returned for a touchdown. The one to the safety right down the middle.
Yeah. I was just forcing it. Throwing it where I shouldn't throw it.
Not surprising that you're trying to make plays, but you know, you talk about dependability and consistency. If you don't have consistency, how can you depend on this?
Yeah, it's a good question. Those are the things that we're working to try to figure out what we're good at so that we can do them consistently, so that we can all depend on each other to do it consistently. The guys are out there fighting hard. I know that. The backs, the receivers fought hard to the end. Tight ends are. Offensive line certainly is. So, there's no, when you lose the way we lost, there's not a lot to be gained other than the feeling that we have now and understand that, we don't want this feeling, again. We've had it before. And it's motivated us. And we've had some pretty bad losses on the road where we're not really ever in the game. But, this is a tough one.
Do you remember ever having to face this much adversity before?
That's football. I mean, I think this is, it's not easy. Certainly the sport challenges you physically and mentally every day. And it's certainly not easy for any team to show up and win games. And, we're fighting like every other team in the league. So our division, we're there with some other teams that probably aren't happy about where they're at. But that's the reality, so we're going to see what we're made of, see what kind of mental toughness we have, see if we can go out there and do something about it, because we're really the only people that can do something about it. It's people that are on the field with the opportunity to make the plays to help us win. Thanks, guys.
That was Tom Brady after the loss tonight in Kansas City. A lot of good stuff there. A lot of good questions being asked.
A lot of good questions that didn't really have answers, and not that Brady wasn't good at answering them, but I honestly don't think they have answers to them. The offensive line questions and finding what they're good at and consistency. It's hard to get consistency when you can't really figure out what you're doing well. And I would say through a month of the season, what are they doing well offensively?
I would say both sides of the ball. What are they doing well?
I'm just talking about Brady, specifically off of that
from his
that
perspective
press conference. But yeah, I would agree with you, Andy. I don't think they've done a lot well defensively either. They've been decimated against the run. Two out of the four games.
Pressure's been way too inconsistent. Coverage's been too inconsistent.
Yeah, and they haven't defended the pass all that well. So this team is, it's a month now, and it's searching for an identity that is not even close to being found.
And it's funny, that comes on the heels of Bill actually said, we know a lot more about the team than we did 3 weeks ago, and he was talking about that on Saturday.
Way better, I think is the way he put it. Way better than we were.
You certainly can't tell by the performance on the field or by your lineup alterations on the offensive line, your inactives.
Because I think it's sort of steadily gone down. I think they opened the season. The block punt aside in the first possession, I think that the best drives that they've had all year were those first half drives against Miami. And that they had two long drives in that game for 14 of the points. And I think it's gone steadily downhill, really, offensively since, and it bottomed out. Hopefully it bottomed out today. I can't imagine it getting much worse than that. First 2.5 quarters today were as bad as it gets. But do you understand what I'm saying? Against Minnesota, they really didn't generate anything offensively.
Right.
Against Oakland, they were awful offensively against a bad, bad team. And then tonight, they were getting shut out with, a couple of minutes left in the third quarter.
Getting back to some emails that have come in. Mally from Nebraska writes in, I was at the game. I have to say the Patriots could learn something from Chiefs fans. Unbelievable atmosphere.
Certainly.
That being said, Patriots sucked tonight, and we left in the third quarter. Love you guys. Keep it up, Mally.
Are you going to yell at them?
For what?
Leaving in the third quarter?
I wouldn't do it, but I can understand it. Especially a Monday night game. You might have work tomorrow. Are you going to drive home, all that?
Yeah,
considering he's from Nebraska and he was in Kansas City tonight.
Oh yeah,
I-70.
I kind of glossed over that.
Yeah,
but for example,
you are a little bit under the weather.
Yes, but for example, you may have seen the first Jimmy Garoppolo touchdown pass, right?
Yeah, I could live without that. I could see that on tape.
I'll see that one on SportsCenter. Thanks.
But that's not, I mean, isn't that why you go to some sporting events? Like, if he goes on to have a Brady-like career, yeah, I was there the night it started, kind of. You know, they were getting blown out of Kansas City.
No, I don't think that's what he was looking for tonight when he bought tickets to that game.
Oh, but that's why I like to stay to the end of sporting events. You never know what you're
going
to see.
Yeah, and I certainly wouldn't make fun of anybody who does choose to stay, but I have no problem whatsoever with leaving a blowout early, and I've done it a couple of times. I can remember...
You're a fair weather fan.
I can remember doing it more than one occasion. At Tampa, the mosh pit game.
Yeah.
I went down to that. I left that game early.
And then that's different, though.
Why?
The strip clubs you wanted to get to.
Well, I mean, not after the game. I mean, that was taken care of the night before the game. That's kind of why we played like that, because a lot of the guys were with us.
Joseph writes in.
That's fact, not opinion.
Are there fancy strip clubs?
Was Bledsoe there?
Kansas City.
Was Bledsoe there at that? Wherever you
Bledsoe
were?
Was not there, no, but that was the mosh pit game. He had his problems before we left.
He had his issues here in Boston. Was it the Paradise, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. Joseph writes in. Brady is showing signs of decline. Stick a fork in the season. The AFC East is going to the Bills if Orton can still play quarterback.
Yeah, no. I'm down on this team, but I'm not giving the division to anybody. I'm sorry.
I'm not either, and I think I'd be more surprised if the Bills won the division than I would if the Patriots didn't win it. That's how little I think of Buffalo.
It's too late for me to understand what that even means.
Kyle, you'd be surprised if the Patriots didn't win the division, right?
Stunned.
Okay, well, I'd be even more surprised if Buffalo won it. In other words, I think Miami or the Jets are better than Buffalo. So if the Patriots don't win it, I would say Buffalo won't win it. Miami or the Jets will win it.
I needed that.
It's really not that hard to decipher.
This time and this feeling with me, I'm under the weather. You know,
yeah. Let's go back to the phones in the meantime.
Why don't you go home now?
Yeah, why don't we talk to Jackson. Hey, Jackson.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. I just had a question about Jimmy Garoppolo.
All right. Go ahead.
When he was playing, like, in the fourth quarter, I thought that he was, like, driving the team down the field really well, and that touchdown pass was pretty good. Do you think that the Patriots might consider pulling Brady? Because he's, like, 37 now and getting pretty old. Do you think it might be time to get Jimmy Garoppolo, like, a younger guy in there, and maybe we might do better?
No, but you're not the only person who clearly thought that.
There was a couple of questions asked to the head coach tonight after the game about evaluation of the quarterback, but I agree with Andy. I don't think we're there, and I honestly don't think you can put a whole lot of stock into the offense in the fourth quarter. No. I mean, the game was 41-7, and the teams were just looking to get off the field and get the game over with.
So James White should be the starting running back now because he had some nice runs.
Okay.
Brandon LaFell.
Okay.
No. I'm just saying, you know, that was mop-up time.
It was.
It is what it is.
There was no difference between that and a preseason game.
I'm certainly not. Well, for the Patriots, there was no difference between that and a preseason game from, like, first quarter on.
Like game three of a preseason.
Ridiculous.
Week three of a preseason game.
David writes in. First of all, I want to send my condolences to Beatles Car, parking garage, valet attendants, or the Nate Solders of the real world.
Wow. How's your car coming? You get it back yet?
No, it's still being fixed. Jesus. It's still in the shop. It's going to be a while.
What, do you got a rental?
Yeah, I got a rental. It's brand new. It's
what do
you
nice.
Got another Jeep Grand Cherokee. It's beautiful. Brand new. Okay, now that that's out of the way, what in the holy freaking Steve Grogan's neck roll just happened? Does this team hate its coach? If it doesn't, it should. The coaching on offense and defense is the worst I have seen since Dick McPherson. Is this all because of Dante and the Mankins trade?
Yep.
Is there any way to fix this mess? Is Brady done, or is he just going to have to pass, block, and catch the ball too? Giselle voice. This game almost made me miss the late 80s and Doug Flutie. Shaking my head, I hate to say it, but it may be time to put the chicken and watch him gallop. Number 10, Dave in West Virginia.
Wow.
You said yes.
Back-to-back Garoppolos.
You said yes.
We've gotten at least 24 emails calling for Garoppolo to start over Brady.
When he said the thing about Mankins, do you really believe that?
What?
The team is upset about Mankins?
No. I think that's adversely affecting the offensive line. I don't think
physically.
There is... Yes. I don't
Not
think,
mentally.
And I don't think there's enough people on this team with enough longevity to hate their coach. I don't think Brady will ever hate Bill Belichick.
I don't think it's a hate their coach thing, but I do think there's some resentment for the treatment.
Yeah, I just think those people are, they're so few and far between. That's Will Fork, important. That's Brady. Yeah, I guess. I think that's and if we're going to list problems right now, I think that's way the bleep down the list.
John writes in, here's a brilliant idea. Why don't the Pats script a great opening drive during the week of practice so you don't start the game looking like horse bleep? Depressed in Chicago, John.
Not sure scripting would work right now.
I'm sure that they would like to move the ball on the first drive, but they haven't been able to. I mean, I don't think that they're drawing up plays that they think aren't going to work.
I don't want to toot my own horn, but...
Go
ahead. Beep, beep.
One of the pregame radio hits I did, I said...
One of the many.
Well, I have a few.
How did you do?
Well, I did the Jab this morning. I did the Herald on the way in. I did the Hub on
You did Herald Radio?
Yeah.
You did Herald Radio.
You're a whore.
Wow.
You know that?
No.
You really are.
Whores get paid.
Yeah. I mean, Herald Radio...
That was just slutty of me.
Herald Radio doesn't even pay their own personnel. They're just throwing the cat around.
Right now, with this passing offense, if this were May...
What? It's almost 1 o'clock. It is 1 o'clock.
I think the ball would be hitting the ground against air. I don't think they're good enough right now against air. You could script all the freaking plays you want on Wednesday.
I'm still trying to get over the fact that you did Herald Radio.
The Jab.
No, the Jab I get. Andy and I have both had regular gigs in Maine.
Jab is a very lucrative.
Oh, really?
Weekly hit.
He gets a
Jab taking care of their people.
Yeah.
Good for the Jab.
It's getting hot in here.
Yeah, it is. It's getting late, too. Justin's in Virginia. What do you got, Justin?
He didn't like what he saw.
I'm going to say win, lose, or tie, Pats Nation till I die. This was a horrific game. I don't want to focus on the bags. It's too much.
All right, that's the end of your call, then.
That's the end of the call, then.
Did you really hang up on him? Oh, what an a-hole.
I didn't even mean to.
It's 1 o'clock. You just hung up on a guy at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Justin, call back. That was...
Justin, call back.
You know we don't do that to our peeps. That was Mark. That's how they do things at the Felger-led Hub, but we don't do that on Patriots.com.
Even Felger doesn't do that. He lets you get the first sentence out before he blows you up.
Call back, Justin. I apologize.
Chester.
He's a douche.
Oh, my God. That was so awesome.
Better be careful. You're next.
He's got an itchy trigger finger. Watch yourself.
Excuse me. All right. So I'll keep this one quick, guys. But, you know, I can already hear the rhetoric about how this tape of this game is going to get thrown away. You know, I went to that Seattle-New Orleans Monday night game last year, and I just remember the Saints being daring headlights from start to finish of that game, and they were, you know, supposedly an evenly matched game, and it just was such a one-sided affair. To me, you know, by the beginning of the second quarter, obviously, it was just glaringly obvious that was going to be a similar turnout, and, you know, these guys just checked out. I am always one to think positive, and I am very concerned. This reminds me, in terms of the dynamic with that offensive line right now, it reminds me of what our secondary was like before we brought Aqib Talib in. You know, we were at this hopeless state where we just absolutely sucked in a certain area. And I feel, you know, before this trade deadline comes in, something's got to give. There's got to be a move. There's got to be a spark. Something needs to happen to shift things back in the right direction. And as much as we harp on Brady, the guy has no line. He has no trust. And he's playing like a dead man walking right now. So, you know, we're going to have to see what happens, and if Cincinnati just whoops us up, then we know we got a much bigger fish to fry here in terms of what we're doing with our coaching and everything else. But, you know, I'm going to sleep on this. We'll see what happens. It's just definitely a horrible loss, and you guys have a good night. Over and out.
All right,
see you, Chester. Glad you made it through.
He did. He made it through.
Again, hard to argue with a lot of that.
Bengals up next. It doesn't get easier for this team.
I just don't buy the answers come from outside the building. The answers have to come from inside the building.
Oh, what are you going to do?
Can't the answers come from both places?
So what are we on, the Richie Incognito signing?
Nope.
Or the trade for...
Trade for somebody.
Ooh, what?
Who?
I don't know. It's too early in the year to pull off a trade. Who's looking to make trades in week four?
Give me the position you're targeting.
Oh, I would target the offensive line.
Where?
I would target... Well, here's the thing. Are you willing to sit down Solder? Like, is the team going to be willing to do that?
I don't think you're going to get a guy more talented than Nate Solder on the trade.
But if you're going to trade for an offensive lineman.
Can you get someone Andy, to answer that question, can you get someone who's playing better than Nate Solder?
Probably not.
If you're not talking about just the inherent talent.
Why is he being traded?
But that was what I was starting to get at. If you're trading for an offensive lineman, chances are he's going to be a guy who is either in a contract dispute or he's a backup.
Lost his job.
Right? So I'm not sure that you get an upgrade. Now, listen,
or
I've,
you
I've said that,
for that player.
I've said that in the past, and they, you know, Aqib Talib, I would have said,
already overpaid.
Fell into the sort of contract dispute kind of thing, you know, someone's problem child. And they've always been able to do it. They've identified their area of weakness, and they've been able to make trades.
I got to put Justin back on. I'm sorry, okay. Justin.
He's a bad guy.
I'm sorry, Justin.
That was a DB move, Mark Burson. I thought you were better than that.
He's not.
I'm not. I'm definitely not better than that.
He's a mini Felger wannabe.
I just want to say that my two goods that two people I really were down on were LaFell and Ridley. And Ridley made me really proud not fumbling, and I really was down on him. I wanted him cut. I was running him out of town, and I hated the Brandon LaFell signing. They made me proud. Pats Nation forever. I'm out. Thank you.
All right, Justin, thank you for calling back. Seriously.
The Brandon LaFell one.
And you're going to skip the line the rest of the season, I promise you.
I apologize to you.
Didn't Ridley.
wait, have, like, so wait, I shouldn't carries? Have taken the call back?
No, didn't Ridley have five carries?
Ridley did nothing tonight.
So, I mean, I don't want to make fun of Justin because he's already had an.
Ridley
a
had
rough
five injury. Carries, 28 yards.
Yeah, and.
So we're praising him for not fumbling like on his five attempts.
He had like an 8 or 9 yard run, like. In garbage time.
No, I don't really care about the yards. He praised him for not fumbling. He had five carries.
No, I thought there was a little sarcasm to that, but maybe you're right.
Yeah, I think he was being a little bit sarcastic. 30 passing attempts
Why
tonight.
Why are you rubbing
your
belly?
Because I was itching right there.
Oh.
30 passing attempts, 16 rushing attempts.
Buddha Perillo, tell me how to fix it.
It's not that bad anymore.
Brian's up next on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.
Where are these people calling
Hi,
from?
Brian.
You guys are just running on fumes now, aren't you?
Tell me about it.
You ain't lying, my friend.
I'm dying.
Your obsession with the Herald plug that Andy did.
Yeah.
It's like your buddy banging your old girlfriend. I
mean, like, no, it's just that I know that those Herald radio guys, they don't even pay their own guys.
It's also my guy, John Sapicetti from 1510, who's over there now. He asked me to
well,
do
why
it.
Did you just say that in the first place?
I didn't know we were getting into details of why I do Herald radio occasionally.
Well, hey, listen,
it's
listen. This. What? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
That's all right. So anyways, okay. So this was a beatdown and everything with that.
Epic.
Now, things that were talked about on PFW in progress this week, I tried calling in, but I had to sit on hold. Don't get me wrong, not complaining. It was a great rant because Fred was trying to explain to Paul how Darrelle Revis was making not only Hightower look good, he was probably making Shane Vereen look good.
Yeah.
How?
Bottom kind of fell out of that one tonight, huh?
We had a legendary argument. I was saying how great I thought Hightower was playing.
Yeah.
And he was saying you got to give the credit to Revis for that.
No.
Exactly.
I'm not lying.
No.
I am not lying.
Wait a minute. How did Vereen come into this?
No, he's mocking you. Exaggerating.
Oh, I thought
Keep up.
Thought
did you just
serious.
Hang up on
no,
another
no,
guy?
No, I didn't touch it at all.
Oh, good.
I'm here.
Okay.
So, anyways, I wanted to rant because during the week we were talking about how, I mean, of course the offense has been terrible this season so far. Not even just looking at tonight's game. But you guys were kind of writing off like, oh, well, forget about the defense. And I always was, that's what I wanted to call in and complain about. I feel like, I mean, our run defense hasn't been good at all this season. I feel like if Peterson actually played, he would have eaten us alive.
Yeah, but who besides Fred was saying, don't worry about the defense?
I kind of caught you on that, and there was another thing I wanted.
Certainly
to
wasn't me, because I've been arguing with Fred that I haven't seen this defense stop a good offense ever.
Yeah, and
the basis of our argument.
Well, okay, so then maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, but I felt like it was kind of written off, like, oh, the defense is doing all right. Let's focus on the offense and the offensive line, which was, of course, a concern, definitely. But it seemed like we couldn't tackle anyone. Everyone would get like 5-6 yards on us, no problem. Run. I mean, it's just been. I feel like okay, we're talking. Everyone's talking about the decline of Brady. Maybe Will Fork is done.
Yeah, I've been really disappointed.
He got pushed
in Will
around
Fork.
Tonight.
I thought for sure. Right?
I mean, we're harping on Brady. We're harping on Revis. What's Will Fork been doing?
Really? He's not been great. I will admit that. I thought he was going to be ready for a bounce back year. I thought he looked good in the summer and in preseason, and he's not done the job.
No, and the tackling has just been atrocious. Today was just disgusting. I mean, guys just falling over, reaching out with their hands.
Yep.
A lot of falling over, too.
I mean,
a lot
I
of guys
think
losing
of Minkovic, Ryan, McCourty, everybody. It wasn't a one- or two-person problem. It was a defensive problem.
So, okay. So now, well, okay, Paul, so let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You had made what really set me off. You had made one thing, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. You had said that there weren't a lot of good teams in the league.
I agree with that. No, that one you didn't put words in my mouth.
Said.
I agree
this
with that.
What you said.
Yeah, okay. Correct.
Right? So I want you to expand on this, especially I want Andy to hear this, because you said something like there's like the Seattle and the Denvers. You had a list of teams that you thought were okay. Right?
Kansas City wouldn't have been one of them if that's what you're asking.
No. But you put the Patriots kind of in the mediocre.
Oh, yeah. No, guilty. Yeah, I put the Patriots in that category, and maybe I'm a little premature. And Mark and Andy have been talking all night about just because it's happened in the past where they've sort of struggled at times and they get better, and this is a new season. Belichick always tells us it's a new season. You can't take anything and carry it over. Mark and Andy have been saying how maybe this year will be different. Maybe they won't have the ability to just turn it on.
Well, but it's not just other years. Remember how we were, what was the first one? It was Philly. No. Which one came first where he was eating them up? No, it was Washington came first where he was just shredding them. This offense, he was marching up and down the field in team drills against the Redskins' defense.
Yeah. Now, he didn't do that against Philadelphia.
Right.
He did do
Philly
it, against,
came
he
back
did do
to
it against Washington.
So it's not just living in the history. You had, I mean, that's a team in the NFL this year. Now,
a bad one.
They're not good, but, well you know, so are the Raiders.
Yeah, no, and he is, and he's right, because I did say that. You know, I felt like the Patriots were one of those teams with Cincinnati and Denver and Seattle and probably San Francisco and Green Bay, you know, I think they're good teams.
Yep.
I don't think there are a lot of really good teams. And
well, the Patriots aren't a good team right now.
I would probably put San Diego in that category based on what I've seen so far. I was high on San Diego coming in, and they've played pretty well in the first month of the season. They even showed that sort of, you know, that good team ability to sort of sleepwalk for a half against a bad opponent at home and then blow doors off in the second half when you take it seriously yesterday against Jacksonville.
Let's take our final time out here on the Xbox One Patriots post-game show. We'll come back and wrap it up with some more thoughts.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Dominance, the success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Need to vent about today's game? Mark, Paul, and Andy are here for you on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. I believe he just fell asleep during the break, Andy. Yeah, I think we all did.
That was a long pause.
I think we all did.
Penalties are down again.
Oh, that's exciting.
I forgot to include that.
We did hit 17 foul balls.
And I need to, this is just a total random aside as we run out of gas.
Oh, yeah. Good. Maybe I'll add it.
I really liked Rob Gronkowski after he scored. With no spike and just immediately running to the bench. I think for a guy who people try to paint as this wild, crazy, unaware idiot, he knew the situation perfectly and just got the hell out of there.
Yeah, as opposed to Tavon Wilson,
yes.
Who fell down and was out of position about three times, knocked away a pass in the fourth quarter and reacted as if he had just saved the game.
I really liked what I saw from Gronk on that play. Minor little stupid thing, but something I like.
Kareem in Virginia writes, hey guys.
Kareem, what the Chiefs did to the Patriots. Oh, I got a second wind.
I like it better when I'm sleeping. Yeah.
Go back to sleep. I honestly believe that this team needs to be based on a 4-3 instead of a 3-4. This defense has guys that are best at man coverage, and yet they still play way too much zone. I'm not a believer in the defense, to be honest with you. They haven't had real competition and have shut down a legit offense yet. Do you guys think they should make some adjustments on defense? I would say after tonight, yes.
Yeah, I don't know enough about, you know, the coverage schemes and or not, and the players' abilities to say they're more suited to man than zone. I don't know enough about that.
We certainly heard a lot about it in the offseason.
Yeah, I don't think that they have enough bulk to play a true 3-4. So in that regard, I think that's something that you can look at and say, well, they're not big enough to do it.
Look at Chandler Jones.
I'm not saying that. Joe Valano doesn't have the technique down to play the way they're asking him to play. I simply don't think he's big enough to play the way they ask him to play, and I know that Chandler Jones isn't.
Jonathan writes in, ugly loss for the Pats. I'm writing to ask about Revis. Last year we saw Talib constantly shut out the other team's top receiver. Why have we not seen the same for Revis? He gave up a few catches to Bo, though it did not matter in the game. Didn't we all think Revis was better than Tlaib? What are your guys thinking on this?
Yes, we thought that Revis was better than Tlaib. We expected him to be better. We expected him to have an even more positive impact on the defense. And he has not been totally matched up. Now, Kansas City's a team. Dwayne Bowe is not what his name says it is. He's not the player he once was when he got a big contract and all that. I haven't followed it closely really enough to know why he's no longer the same player he was.
I think a big part of it is Alex Smith doesn't throw the ball downfield.
Maybe that's it. But they don't have a true, obvious number one, 100-catch, 1,000-yard, 10-touchdown guy. But I think the basis of the point is right. You got Revis to play man coverage. You got Revis to take somebody away. And even he sort of talked about it this week about kind of wanting to do that.
And
more
I thought
Bo
was the guy that he was at. Now, I don't think all the catches – Bo had a good game tonight. I don't think all the catches were on Revis, but right. I do think early they had a third down that he was matched up with him, and Bo beat him for a first down catch. I don't think they've – Andy and I argued this on the website, and in reality, I'll let a little cat out of the bag. I think Andy is right in this argument. I think that they need to lock him up a little bit more often with, you know, man coverage and let him make – you know, if quarterbacks want to try their luck with Darrell Revis, let him be in press man coverage and see how many plays he can make. I don't think that they're utilizing him. I think, you know, there was a lot of snickers and laughs about Greg Schiano and how he used – Revis last year in Tampa Bay, and I feel like the Patriots have used him in a similar way.
And I'll be interested, you know, Paul and I and I think PFW as a whole have sort of been a little critical of him in some of the things we've said, some of the things we've written early in the year, and others apparently flat out were mocking us a little bit. In the media, who think he's been great, he's been shut down, he's been really good, and this and that, and, you know, people giving him for, you know, basically credit for a pass defense in Miami, even though it ended up in a touchdown.
This is fact.
I wonder if that
he
changes
knocked that pass
this
down.
Week.
It said in the game book that Wallace caught the touchdown.
And I wonder if that changes at all this week, because I did see some criticisms on Twitter from some people that I think were in the camp of defending him through the first 3 weeks.
On that topic, Gary echoes what you guys are saying. Gary writes, when Revis was with the Jets, he was unbelievable. No one could pass on him. Now he's merely above average. Is it Revis or is it the coaching? I think it's the coaching. While Rex Ryan is a buffoon as a head coach, he sure knows how to coach defense. Any chance the Patriots finally look outside the organization to look at a defensive coach like Rex Ryan? The defensive philosophy as it is now has not been working.
Andy, this is one of your favorite topics, so I'll let you have at it.
No, because Bill Belichick is the guy. It's his
scheme. Philosophy it's is his. Belichick's.
The game planning, I saw a ripping of Matt Patricia today for the game plan. He doesn't game plan. I mean, he game plans.
He implements the game plan.
The game plan is Bill Belichick.
That's what he's told.
Yeah, Belichick's the boss. Very, you know, my son has made me laugh recently because he says the boss for everything. Like, we're watching football, and he says, who's the boss on the field right now? And I said, well, you mean, like, of the game or of the team? And he said, no, of the team. And I pointed to Jim Harbaugh. That's the boss. Bill Belichick is the boss of everything Patriots. Other than signing the damn checks, it's Bill Belichick that's the boss of everything. And he is not going to give up that power, in my opinion. Now, maybe he'll have some come-to-Jesus moment, but I don't think he thinks that he's not a good coach. I don't think he thinks he needs to be changed.
If you're talking about Darrell Revis and how he's being used, that's a Bill Belichick question, not a Matt Patricia question, because Belichick is deciding how he's being used.
Todd writes in, Ninkovich looks older than Paul. Will Fork was
he has
on,
lost a little hair.
Will Fork was on roller skates like a one-legged Fred. Revis is as uninterested as Eric, and Patrick Chung is as bad as Andy. You suck too, Beetle. Time for Brady to step up and not just scream on the sideline and start playing like he's a great player. Or get the hell out of the way. It's from Todd. A lot of yelling on the sideline from Brady tonight. Very unhappy Brady.
What do you think of the? I know he was making jokes, but what do you think of the term disinterested for Revis?
I think he might be a little disinterested, but I think
I don't think it's far off.
But I think the disinterest comes from I can be disinterested and play zone.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, if you give me something that challenges my competitive appetite, then I'll be ready. I'll be engaged. But you're asking me to play zone. I do that in my sleep. right? I mean, isn't there a little vibe of
that? I don't think that he looks like he's totally engaged.
But, you know, I he also wasn't totally engaged in all his practice reps all summer.
Exactly.
Jeff in Vegas will have the final word tonight. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys, it almost makes you wonder, what does this team work on all week with an extra day? I mean, that was just embarrassing.
Did you hit the middle?
God, I mean, I was completely wrong for believing in this team. It's unusual that an NFL team gets completely dominated from wire to wire. I mean, they had no life at all at any point. It's just atypical of an NFL team. I mean,
certainly atypical of a Bill Belichick team.
How can you have an NFL team with no semblance of a passing game? I mean, come on, they're completely a feat. They have nothing going for them on offense. How can you field an offensive roster like that? I'm at a loss. I can't understand it.
Yeah,
I think we all agree with you.
I think a lot of people are at a loss.
And I think a lot of us believe it sort of starts up front and trickles down from there. I don't think they're that talented offensively in general, but I think if you gave them a little time and a little more room to work on the running game and everything else, you'd see better production.
Yeah, I agree, and it's probably going to be a little bit here before. It's not just going to magically turn, and again, they might have a good game.
So you're taking the Bengals.
Well, I mean, yeah, right now, yeah, I would have to say the Bengals are a better team. So,
I would do that.
Preview the six-pack for next week.
That's a preview right there. You got Bengals.
I can see what the number is, too.
Prime time yet again.
Coming off the bye. Patriots coming on a short week, but they do return here to Foxborough.
Well, they haven't lost in a long time.
Where it's been so much better.
You know, in the regular season.
Well, if we're looking for something to hang our hat on,
I told you,
manner, that's
penalties
it.
Were down for the third straight week.
All right, Andy.
Slater.
Money
Slater. And punt coverage.
That's right.
Stork That's pants, clean.
I'm not co-signing on that one.
He didn't poop.
Patriots come back home.
I can't say that for sure.
We'll be
for
here
sure.
for it on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social next Sunday night at 6:15. Don't forget, PFW in progress Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And we'll talk to you next week. I'll talk to you next week. These guys will talk to you all week long.
And I apologize.
And all those pregame media hits.
I
turn on any radio station in New England.
Even
probably find
even
Andy.
Internet radios.
Yeah.
I think I can speak for the entire organization when I say I apologize for the performance tonight. From Bill Belichick straight on down through Paul Perillo and Andy Hart.
Patriots lose. They're now 2-2. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Out of the I formation with Devlin in the fullback for Ridley, who takes the handoff, started up the middle, runs it right. A foot race to the five. Ridley's going to win it to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Next Sunday, the Patriots are back home to take on the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday Night Football. Kickoff is set for 8:30 p.m. Be sure to log on to Patriots.com to tune in to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Immediately following the game.
Brady with a check with me on a 3rd and 4 from the 10. Brady in the pocket, has time to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Edelman has it!
For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.